Paul Wussworth Sayings Question Time Review. Question time, the 21st of October, 2021. The panel, Andrew Bowie, Conservative, Anna Sawa, Labour, Kate Forbes, SNP, Heather McGregor, Edinburgh Business School, Brian Cox, actor, the venue, Glasgow. More restrictions to prevent a winter wave of COVID. Andrew Bowie, Conservative, wanted more vaccine rollout and more normal living. Tell your friends to go out and get the vaccine. They can't get it, responded Bruce, Chair. That's changed, Andrew assured us. And wear a mask. In Parliament, smirked Bruce. Oh, yes. Andrew had been watching television, and more of his colleagues were now wearing masks in the House of Commons. I think it's a mess, an absolute mess, said Brian Cox, actor, coughing theatrically. We have to get vaccinated. Scotland was better than England. In the south, there was a lot of headless chicken activity. Brian had coronavirus, and for him it hadn't been too bad. Committed socialist and working-class hero Comrade Brian Cox is a New York resident with a second home in London's exclusive Holland Park, from where, in the interest of equality, he sent his children to the exclusive £40,000 a year St Paul's School. Capitalism hasn't been too bad for him either. Anna Sawa, Labour, noted Scotland's earlier back-to-school spike. He wanted Scotland to do better than being a bit better than Boris Johnson and the English. Quizzed on his plan B, he preferred plan A, but with more than just wearing a mask. A lady in the audience said people with COVID were phoning 111 and having a long wait. It wasn't fit for purpose. 30,000 people descending on Glasgow for COP26. Is that a good idea? Asked a gentleman. Bruce moved rapidly on. Heather McGregor, Edinburgh Business School, wanted fewer restrictions. Educational restrictions were stricter for her than for colleagues in England. It was bad for business. People were coming from all over the world to study in Scotland and weren't getting value for money. A gentleman in the audience criticised Anna Sawa just for the sake of it. The universities are a rip-off, said a young lady in the audience, without actually using the phrase rip-off. Ingrid asked about spiking of young women on nights out, sometimes with needles. Ingrid had never felt so unsafe as a woman going out and about. It's very rude to comment on a lady's size, but the word harpoon sprang to at least one viewer's mind. Heather has an app. When you're drugged and unconscious, you press a button 24/7 and help comes looking for you. Kate Forbes, SNP, wanted a change in culture. She has a lot of men in her life. The quiet ones are the worst. She wanted men to change. Public schoolgirl Kate was educated at an international school in India and graduated from Selwyn College, Cambridge. She's presently the SNP MSP for Skye, Lochaber and Badenoch. The accessibility of the drug was what concerned Brian. No one is looking at that element. Where do they get it from? No one is talking about what the drug is and how accessible it is. Culture, said Annas. Sexual misogyny wasn't in the recent Scottish hate crime bill, and that was a mistake. Gender-based violence doesn't just affect women, said a lady in the audience. Men get jabbed and their drinks spiked too, she said, and occasionally hit over the head with a rolling pin, your humble author recalls. Andrew Bowie was ashamed. He admitted he had no idea. We know that, Andrew. You're an MP. As COP26 approaches, would you put the economy or the environment first? There was an acorn project, said Kate. A mere £1 billion of English taxpayers' money would have gone to the north of Scotland to capture and store carbon. It had been turned down. Kate said this was jaw-dropping. But, replied Andrew, the Greens who keep Kate's SNP in power in Scotland are against carbon capture. Ah, do puffins think Scotland should pay the rest of us reparations for the warming caused by North Sea oil and gas? I don't believe in global warming, but I will take their money off them anyway, which, let's face it, might as well be the motto of 90% of the attendees at COP26. Brian got himself all bothered. It's not a party political issue. Deep shit, he said. We have to make sacrifices, howled the millionaire regular transatlantic flyer with homes on two continents. Think about the planet, he wailed. Somebody said, now, silly tart. Climate change doesn't recognise borders, mused Annas. Save the planet, but not by making the same mistakes as with the demise of the coal mining industry. Change rhetoric into actual action. The trains and bins in Glasgow are going on strike during COP26. Same mistake as the coal mines after all. The next question wondered about further protection for politicians after last week's terrible events in Lyon C. Anas has had threats. He played the race card. Unlike the rest of us, he'd been punched as a teenager. His mother had been threatened when his father had been about to be elected as the first Muslim MP in Scotland. How could anyone dislike the Sawars? Privately educated comrade Anna Sauer, £12,000 a year, Hutchinson's Grammar School, led the Scottish Labour Party to its worst ever Scottish parliamentary election results in May 2021. The Labour Party only received 20% of the vote, and Mr. Sauer lost the seat he was contesting, but was elected anyway, via a regional party list. Although puffins might suspect Anas to be one of the Clackmannanshire Sawars, the clan originate from Pakistan. Three important things to note about that place. It is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. It is a Muslim country. Primary loyalty is to the extended family, a clan structure made more intense by generations of forced first-cousin marriage. The unpleasant tale of the Sawar clan in the west of Scotland is told in a QT review biography here. Anas Sawar's father, Chowdhury Mohammed, was a Westminster MP who passed the seat on to Anas, who managed to lose it, when he gave up his British passport and returned to Pakistan to become governor of the Punjab. There, amongst other things, he set up the Sawar Foundation. Puffins will be pleased to hear a branch of the Sawar Foundation exists in Glasgow and is happy to take your donation. According to their website, a donation of £12,000 will build a water filtration plant. Or will it? On a recent fundraising trip to the United States, a $15,000 donation would drill a well. In a 2nd of June 2021 article in Peshawar's prestigious Frontier Post entitled Sawar Foundation Humiliates Pakistan in America, Jalil Afridi writes, Washington DC, Governor Punjab Chowdhury Mohammed Sawar recently visited the United States and did an excellent job of humiliating Pakistan, but he made excellent money to the tune of $40,000 for his NGO Sawar Foundation. Chowdhury Sahib pimps around the country in America, asking Pakistani-American businessmen to write bank checks to the name of the governor's wife. Kel surprise. The Frontier Post goes on to allege that a Mr. Johnny Bashir, US President of PTI, donated $10,000 while asking Sawar for help in setting up an e-payment platform in Pakistan. As well as Washington, there were fundraisers in Texas, where the Sawars attended a relative's wedding, Kansas, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento. Another edition of the Frontier Post notes that the expenditure involved in drilling a well is only $1,000. Mr. Sawar's spokesman was kind enough to explain the other $14,000 was the cost of the land, which sounds a lot for a well-sized patch of dust in an arid part of Pakistan. No wonder that other Mohammed has to do all that walking. Although claiming to raise money for Marcus Rashford-inspired children's breakfast across Glasgow, the vast majority of the Sawar Foundation's Scottish-raised funds, 88% according to their accounts filed on the 21st of September 2020, goes on international projects, i.e. sent to Pakistan. The trustees of the Scottish Sawar Foundation include A. Sawar and P. Sawar. All the trustees have Muslim names. Their bankers are the Habib Bank Zurich PLC. Their independent examiners are DA accountants of Spears Bridge Business Park, Glasgow, DA being a Mr. Dinesh Halan. As for Mr. Sawar's wife, Perveen, she's described on the Scottish Charities website as the driving force behind the Sawar Foundation. She was born in Pakistan and moved to Scotland at the age of four. She has devoted her life to charitable projects and returned to Pakistan in 2013. She's passionate about women's empowerment and established Hunar Gars, skill training centres, to enable women to learn skills, go on to start successful businesses and find suitable employment to support their families and make their lives better. Did someone mention skill centres? One of the Sawar Foundation's partners is NRS International, FZCO, which manufactures and distributes relief items for humanitarian aid and public health sectors. It is not a charity, but a business, based in Jabal Ali Free Zone in Dubai. According to documents dated 2016, their managing director is Fahash Sawa. NRS International, by their manufacturers from H. Sheikh Noor ud-Din and Sons, HSNDS, which is a manufacturing facility in Lahore, Punjab, Pakistan. According to Dun and Bradstreet Business Directory, HNDNS's annual revenue is $23 million. They are in the administration of human resources, public administration, and the administration of public health sectors. They are not a charity. They're a business. Forget about Sheikh Noor ud-Din and his sons, who are characters from 14th century Kashmiri mysticism. HNDNS's chief executive officer is Farhan Sawa. The directors named by Dun & Bradstreet are Furquan Sawa, Amir Sawa and Fahash Sawa. The manufacturing plant in Lahore started life in 1966 as clan chief Sheikh Mohammed Sawa's textiles and tent businesses. More recently, it has expanded into the very profitable humanitarian, foreign aid and healthcare sectors. As for the sewing machine-equipped skill centres, Parveen boasts of 150 such hungar khas, many of them in prisons. In effect, they feed low-paid female textile workers into the Sawa's business interests. A short, direct and profitable line connects the Sawa's political, charity and commercial interests, both in Scotland and in Pakistan. All of this is in the public domain. It is disgraceful that the UK mainstream media refuses to cover the issue. The bread and butter of SNP Kate's job was meeting people. She's been a victim of online abuse, having been targeted by liberals because of her Christian faith and stout defence of unborn babies and those the powers that be might want to euthanise. Speaking of hate, at this point we shall pause to remind Puffins that the SNP was founded by Nazis, bigots and fascists. Founding father Arthur Donaldson was pictured with the Hitler Youth. Another founding father, Arthur Dewar Gibb, hated the Irish and was a self-proclaimed fascist who quoted Hitler in his speeches. In the shorter term, there will have to be an approach that triages in the same way that doctors' surgeries do, said Heather, making about as much sense as Steve Bruce, but without being as good-looking. Referring to Mr. Amos, what comes across is a man who was very ecumenical in his beliefs. He had close relations with our Muslim brethren, Brian said. Somebody whispered it to him. The final question asked how embarrassing was it going to be for Glasgow to be on the international stage during COP26. Annas remembered that the buses were going on strike as well as the trains and bins. Kate mentioned the place is covered in graffiti. It's supposed to be about the environment and the place is full of rubbish, an observant lady in the audience observed. And also full of Glaswegians, your humble author felt obliged to add, shaking his head sagely.